We'll read one verse here in chapter 12 of Proverbs, verse number 25. So let's all read together here tonight, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. And Lord, again, we can just read one verse in your word and it stirs our heart. And we thank you for this good verse. And I pray that you meet with us tonight. Bless it. Bless your word and fill our preacher with your spirit as he shares what you put on it. On his heart, I pray that you'll meet with us. Thank you again in Jesus' name. We ask this. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Penn. Appreciate that. Over the years, we have visited this passage in the Bible numerous times, different topics and all. Tonight, I want to bring a Bible study. I've entitled it, I Think I Just Heard an Encouraging Word. I Think I Just Heard an Encouraging Word. Notice verse 25 again. You have your Bibles there. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. That's a strong statement. But a good word maketh it glad. That's an important phrase. And there's something that befalls every single one of us. All of us from time to time find ourselves with a heavy heart. And I realize how true that is. A wonderful little verse addresses the person with a heavy heart. It has been said, and I think it was Spurgeon, don't quote me, but I believe it was, he said, he who preaches to broken hearts will never want for an audience. A lot of wisdom found in that little phrase, and so very, very true. But before we endeavor to look at some of the details here, I want you to look at three portions of this passage. Number one, look at the word heaviness. Heaviness. It's not talking about a physical heaviness, though a heavy heart will give you a feeling of pressure and heaviness in your chest. I know that it does. But it refers to anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. We're talking about worry. It's a state of uneasiness, a state of fear. You ought to write that down, of apprehension. And it's been that way for an awful lot of Christians, and they can't deny it. I know they. I've never met anyone who didn't have a heavy heart from one time or another. Then I want you to look at the little phrase, maketh it stoop, if you would. It simply means it makes it bow down. I wrote down some words that go right down with that. You can write them if you want to. And being bowed down low, it means being bankrupt and being defeated and being derelict and being needy and being outcast and beaten and broken and in the gutter and on the skids and ruined. All those things are included in that little word, that little phrase, maketh it stoop. Very important that we understand that, because it's not just one feeling. It's many feelings that are combined into one phrase. And then look at the little phrase that's there, but a good word maketh it glad. I don't even need to tell you what that means because it's self-explanatory. And in fact, you could write that in your Bibles if you're taking notes. It just is self-explanatory. It means what it says what it means, and it says that a good word can make an anxious and a depressed and a apprehensive and a fearful heart, one that is bankrupt, one that is totally empty, can make it glad, the Bible says. And the verse draws a wonderful little word picture for us, and I'm so glad the Bible does that. A number of years ago, I was asked by one of our listeners, they simply says, what do you mean by a word picture? It's a picture or a phrase that draws something in our mind. One picture's worth, what, 1,000 words? And God gives us that here, and the picture is that of a man who stooped very low, because of an anxious heart, because of a heart that is full of uneasiness, or a heart that is filled full of fear and apprehension. It draws that picture for us, and you can probably see that, maybe stoop-shouldered, head down, not looking up, and you've been that way, you've been there, I've been there, we've all been there at one time or another. That's one place we don't want to live, but it's one place that we can't deny that we've been there. And so this man simply does not know what to do. He's lost, and I don't mean unsaved. That means he's hit rock bottom and perhaps even unsure whether or not he can get any help. This is an individual that has basically lost hope. It happens to so many. And he is at his lowest and perhaps is ready to quit. And I've met numbers of people through the years where they'll say that they just want to quit. They want to throw the towel in. They're done. They didn't sign up for this. And so they're just going to give it up and they're going to walk away. I received many years ago, I've referred to a teenager's letter that was written to me many years ago. And after they gave a list of things that had them depressed and down and defeated, they said, I'm just going to go away. And that's exactly what they did. But it happens to just about everybody. I've been asked through the years, is a problem that we've had in our church something that would make me quit? And I've always said that's not important enough to make me quit. And so, but there are things that are probably important enough that will one day come across my path. This individual, the Bible says he's at his lowest, but then something wonderful happens. Look, if you would, please. It says, but a good word maketh it glad. So he's got all these things that are going on, but a good word maketh it glad. So something wonderful, something miraculous, something life-changing happens to where he's no longer that way. It makes that kind of a heart glad. And so, a good word was spoken to him, and a good word alone, hear me now, don't miss this, a good word alone drove away the heaviness in his heart. Christians don't believe that today. We have a lot of different avenues that we run to, that we run through, that we go to when we have a heart that's heavy like that. But yet the Bible gives us exactly what we need, and that's what we want to look at tonight. You might call it simplistic. In fact, some will call it simplistic, and they might even say, yeah, but you don't know what's going on in my heart, or yeah, but you're not been where I've been. You've not gone through what I've gone through. I don't want to look at what you've gone through. I want to look at the fact that all of us have had a heavy heart, and the Bible describes that heavy heart. The Hebrew language of the Old Testament gives us the meanings of a heavy heart. And as we look at that, what does the Bible have to say about that? Have you ever heard the expression, thanks for the good word? Have you ever heard, thanks, I needed that? Or, I appreciate what you said to me, thank you very much. And you know, I've heard that many times through the years, and so have you. You've said it. I know you have. You've said, I really appreciate what you said. Thank you so very, very much. I appreciate the encouragement. I really do. And going right along with that, there's a pastor friend in a distant state from where we are right now who just on occasion, maybe once a year, maybe a little bit less than that, will send me a letter in the mail, not a text on the phone, but will actually send me a letter from him and his church at a Sunday school class and say, we've been praying for you, Brother Parton. And that encourages my heart. Would that encourage you? Of course it would. That encourages me when people say that. Or if someone just says, I appreciate you. Or someone simply says, I've been praying for you. Maybe that's the most important phrase of all, is I've been praying for you. Why do we discount that? I guess it's because it's not the encouraging word that we were hoping to get. I remember I once spoke to a friend and asked him, do you need some encouragement? And his reply was simply this. He said, well, I'll put it this way. I don't need any more discouragement. And I thought, yeah, that's true. You don't need any more. You don't need to add to the discouragement that you already have. And I don't even remember who that was. It was so many years ago, but I remember what was said. And I remember that what I said. Somehow or other, there's a need in the human heart to hear a good word every now and then. And the Bible teaches this in Proverbs 12 and verse 25. Look at it once again. And I'm going to read it to you and with you. Follow along. Heaviness in the heart of man. That is not a question mark. That is a statement of fact. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. But a good word maketh it glad. And so, Proverbs 12 and verse 25 give us that of what's going to cure a heavy heart. And it is that good word that actually drives away. Chosen my words pretty carefully here. It's that good word that drives away an anxious heart. Proverbs 12, 25 if you want to write it down. It says this, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. God has these answers written in the Bible. And you don't find these any other places, but the Bible gives us what these places are. And tonight, what I want to do is if you've ever had heaviness in your heart, don't feel too badly because you're in good company. You're not the only one that has had an anxious or a heavy heart. You're not the only one that is bowed down. You're not the only one that is bereft of hope. You are not the only one because others have. And let me just give you three examples. First of all, there's Nehemiah in the Bible. In chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, the Bible says, and it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. There were words that he heard that made him have a heavy heart. And then, of course, there's David in Psalm 40 and verse 12. He says, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. Remember what I talked about being cast down and looking down, not being able to look up? It says, they are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Strong words from David. So who's David? He's the author of Psalms, most of them. Not all of them, but most of them. And then there's what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 8 and verse 18. It says, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. So if it happens to you, you're not the only one. Bible gives us these great men, these men used greatly of God. And we might think they have all the answers. Well, they did have the answers because God gave it to them. But listen now, they went through these times as well. And so when we look at that and in this study, I want to give you some sources that very need for that very needed good word spoken of in Proverbs 12 and verse 25. So let me give you these. And I'm giving these in order. Number one, and that's the word of God. Jeremiah 15, 16. I don't know why more believers don't memorize this verse. My challenge to you as my church family is memorize Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. I remember it was one of the first verses that I memorized when I got into Bible college, of all things. And it simply says, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name. Write it down. Jeremiah. Chapter 15 and verse 16. Thy words were found, and notice what he said, and I did eat them. It wasn't a quick trip through the devotional time in the morning. It wasn't anything like that. It wasn't something that he forgot about. He said, I ate those words up. I read them, I ate them. You know what that means he did? Literally, when we go back to Psalm 1, don't go there. It says that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he, what? Meditate. Jeremiah said, I ate the words. Does that correspond? Yes, it does. I digested these words. I brought them up over and over and over again. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with reading the same encouraging passage in the Bible time and time and time again. Even though it might put you behind in your Bible reading schedule, there's nothing wrong with going to the familiar passage that brings you encouragement. Nothing wrong with that at all. In my own life, I do that. I don't always open my Bible and start reading in the book of Leviticus to find some encouragement. Sometimes I just close my eyes, like I've done many times at night, and I will close my eyes, and in my head, I will start quoting Bible verses that mean the world to me. I would encourage you to do exactly that. Oh, you can get your Bible out at 2 o'clock in the morning. Sure, go ahead. Have at it. I can't hold my eyes open at 2 o'clock in the morning, but I can pray with my eyes shut at night. And I can quote verses at night when I need to. And even though the Word of God condemns sin and pronounces judgment upon the sinner, that is not all that's found in the Word of God. I was thinking just this week, Brother Penn, I think I mentioned it to you a long time ago, about all the imprecatory prayers that are found in the Bible. That's not a good diet to have. That's the ones where it says, you know, kill everybody that I don't like, and God pronounce judgment on everybody's children, and may all the children be fatherless and motherless. And that's not the most encouraging reading in the Bible. Even though when our other president became president, there were a couple of verses in the Bible that were written down and quoted quite often. But you don't necessarily want to read the imprecatory prayers, those ones that condemn. You can always go to Psalm 1. You can always go to Psalm 23. You can always go to Psalm 91. You can always go to Psalm 127. There's so many places you could go. The last five Psalms in the book of Psalms are hallelujah Psalms. You can read those and be encouraged or try to memorize them. The Word of God is also full of verses and passages that encourage us. And the Word of God should be, I almost changed that word today. But the Word of God should be the first source when we turn to when we need a good word. It ought to be the first one. Put that devotional book down. Put down whatever it is you read in addition to the Word of God, and run to the Word of God first and foremost. That's it. Whether it's in your head or in your heart, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If it's in your heart, quote it. If it's in your head, quote it. But you let the Word of God make a difference. That's the first place we need to run to. And many seek other sources first, but this is something that the child, and this is where I almost changed another word. This is something that the child of God should never do. Run to the Bible first. End of report. And I mean that with all. And don't read, I don't recommend you run to a source about the Bible first. I recommend that you run to the Bible first. This book right here, it has every answer to every need that every person in the entire world has. It does. The Pythagorean theorem might not be found in the Bible, but the truth is in the Bible about it. And what I'm saying is simply this. We need to run to the Bible first rather than seeking other sources first. And here's some examples. Let me give you some examples. You can write down the verses. I'm going to read them to you. I'm not going to spend time explaining them because I don't think I'm going to need to. But I am going to give you the reference, first of all, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, where the Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." Why those three things? Power over circumstances, love for people, a sound mind for yourself. God has all of it right there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love," I love this, "perfect love does what? It casteth out fear." What a promise! Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And then, of course, there's Psalm 91, verses 4 through 7. I love Psalm 91. A friend of mine in college many years ago, he tried to put Psalm 91 to music. And he described an orchestra behind him playing all these instruments and the cymbals and the drums and the stringed instruments and all that. He sang it. I don't remember a single note that he sang, because it was just a long song that was sort of put together, kind of like a symphony of listening maybe to Tchaikovsky or maybe listening to Mozart or something. You love the music, but you don't appreciate all the stanzas that's in it all at once. And here's what he wrote in Psalm 91 in verses 4 through 7, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand." But it shall not come nigh thee. That's an encouraging passage. Have you ever memorized Psalm 91 or any part of it? And then there's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, where the Bible says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence." Wow. and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Isaiah 54 and verse 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Psalm 56 and verse 11, the Bible says, in God, I love this, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Wow. And then let me give you just a few more. And that's Psalm 56 and verse, Psalm 31 verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. A heavy heart, I guess. All ye that hope in the Lord. And then there's John 14, 27. Can't even tell you how many people I've sent that verse to. I have that in my text replacement in my phone, and I just put 1427 and click the space bar and put it in any email or anything that I want to send. I've got so many verses that are in text replacements in my phone. Why? Because my fat little thumbs don't do a good job typing it all out, but I can put in a few numbers. But anyway. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, last one I'll give you on that. It says this, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my second choice. No, wait a minute, I read that wrong. The Lord is my last hope. No, it doesn't say that. It says, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You see, there's places all through the Bible. You can get from the Word of God first and foremost, you see. And there are more encouraging words in the Bible than you can possibly imagine. And we just need to bring ourselves to the place where we read the Bible and then believe what the Bible says. That's your first source of an encouraging word. Secondly, it's the house of God. First of all, the Word of God. Secondly, the house of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. You know the verses probably by heart. And let us consider one another to provoke. Consider one another to provoke. That word to bring out, to provoke, is to bring out. And provoke one unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We have days approaching every single day. We need each other. We need this church. We need the assembly of God's people. We need that. And the truth is, church is not always a pleasant experience for some. For some always live in rebellion against the Lord. I look forward to coming to church, and I work here. The truth is, I couldn't wait to hear what I had to say tonight, to be honest with you. I was looking forward to the service. For some people, going to church is like leaning into a right hook or a left jab. The old saying says this, if you get blessed, you say amen, and if you get hit, you say oh me, but you don't sit there like a bump on a pickle and do nothing and never respond. The truth is, at church, you can hear the Word of God being preached and taught. At church, you can hear the songs of heaven being sung. At church, you can hear the name of the Lord Jesus praised. At church, you can hear about answers to prayer. And at church, you can hear the principles of Christian living taught right there from the Word of God. It's right there. That's an encouraging word. To walk out of a service and feel as though you've grown or feel as though you've been encouraged or whatever it might be. God established the church and his people are in it, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, and God loves us very much. He established the local church. Jesus gave his life blood for the local church, and we need to be faithful to the local church because here you get what you can't get anywhere else. To neglect the assembling of yourselves together means that you not only are disobedient to the Word of God, but you also have separated yourself from the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, which alone is able to help us. I think about this tonight. You've got the house of God. And the truth is, you've got the people of God as well. And you know, sometimes we just need
that we need God's people near us because many of them have the same trust that we have. And God is good. I think about this. Often people have come to me asking for spiritual help. And they will name off, and this has happened numerous times. It hasn't happened a whole lot in recent days, but it has happened a great deal to me. They'll come to me and they'll have a problem that they need help with. And I will say, you know, I preached on that on Sunday, and I had the Bible answer for the very question you're asking, and you weren't here. And you weren't here. The truth of the matter is, we need to understand that we can get what we need when we come to this place by not forsaking ourselves with the assembly. And God wants us to be here. When I think about how God has given us what he has given us, places where we can have an encouraging word, like we ought to have an encouraging word, for some reason we go other places. I think about how the Word of God, there's a song that was written called The Love of God. I'm going to read you the words to it, because it fits so well tonight. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When I think about how God has given us the answers tonight, he's given us the answers in the Word of God, for when our heart is bowed down low, and it is bowed down low from time to time, and it's a real thing, but we need to go to God's sources first. There are enough discouraging words to go around, and most of us could sing the old cowboy song, Home, Home on the Range, with the following changes that never bat an eye at it. I think I just heard a discouraging word, and now my skies will be cloudy all day. But I'd rather have, I think I just heard an encouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. I'm so thankful that there's a biblical answer to the anxiety that comes to all of our hearts. The Bible says plainly that a good word will simply drive it away. And by the way, here's something interesting for you. You might want to write this down and remember it. The Hebrew word for word in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, it corresponds with the New Testament Greek word logos, L-O-G-O-S, which is the word used to describe the Lord Jesus. And it just goes to prove that Jesus is still the answer. A good word maketh it glad. Jesus is still the answer. You say, what's the question? Doesn't matter what the question is. Truth of the matter is, he's the answer no matter what. And it's so very important that we understand that. God has been good to us. So I realize the election that we just went through and the inauguration made an awful lot of God's people glad, and of course rightfully so. And I'm one of those, and I thank the Lord for that. And no, this is not a political announcement tonight. It's just simply the way things are. But you know what? If that's the kind of stuff that we depend on to keep us encouraged, we're sorry. We're in a sorry condition if we're only going to be happy when things go our way, you see. And things are not always going to go our way. So anyway, that's my Bible study for tonight. And I want us to realize that all of us go through being downhearted. All of us go through times of being bowed down low. All of us go through that. Thank God we're not living in that, but we all go through it. But when it does happen, God gives us the answer. Use the Word of God, use the house of God, and use the people of God that God has given us to encourage one another. You realize that when Jesus sent the disciples out, the 70, he sent them out two by two, 35 groups of men, two men each time. Why? Because in when you're out dealing with people and you're out serving the Lord, somebody's going to get discouraged. Somebody's going to, the old saying, we don't hear it much anymore, somebody's going to slam a door in your face when you knock on it. Yeah, that's very true. I've had it happen to me. Somebody's going to cuss you out. Yeah, I've had that happen to me. Somebody's going to take your gospel tract and throw it on the ground. Yes, I've had that happen to me. But it's always a blessing to be able to have somebody knocking on a door with you or witnessing with you, because when you get down, the other person can bring you up. And that's a good thing, you see. And sometimes you can even laugh together. And the truth of the matter is, we can be an encouragement to one another when we get downhearted. I gave you a description a while ago. And when the Bible says here that it maketh it stoop, I said that means that you get bowed down low. I gave you a bunch of words to go with that. Bankrupt, defeated, derelict, needy, outcast, beaten, broken, in the gutter, on the skids, and ruined. That's pretty descriptive of an awful lot of Christians' lives when things go downhill for them. But it's the good word. It's the good word that drives that away. And that's God's answer. And I'm glad that it's in the Word of God.